This morning, the title of the message is Calls to Conquer Temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we begin reading in verse 12. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? And I do encourage you to just take a second and realize at this point, this is where we hear from God. This is God speaking as we open the precious pages of His precious Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to you as wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Is the bread which we break, is it not communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to You today just thanking You, Lord, for the privilege of looking into Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of worship that we have enjoyed this morning. And now, Lord, help us to realize that we are in Your presence. And Lord, we need You today. Speak to us. Let Your presence be known to us. Direct us, convict us, guide us, Lord. Answer the need of every person present. And Lord, especially those who are present who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be that day that they commit their life to You, calling upon You for salvation. Lord, we pray that this message be Your message. Just use me as Your instrument. Speak through me. And Lord, glorify Your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. This morning, the main focus of the message is, of course, temptation. And I want you to realize before we start that the best way to overcome sin in your life. How many have a sin problem in your life? Would you just raise your hand? Okay, I'm glad we're in a building of honest people. Okay, if you notice, I raised my hand. I have to deal with it on a daily basis just like you. But I have come to realize that a way to overcome sin, the best way to overcome sin in my life, is to never allow it to start. Never allow it to take a foothold in my life. And to stop that, we've got to learn how to conquer temptation, because that's where sin starts. It starts with temptation. And the first thing I want you to realize this morning is, and about dealing with temptation, is God, number one, will make a way. God will make a way. And He opens in the text that we read with a warning. He said, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now I want you to take this very seriously, because this is a serious warning. Have you ever been in that position where one minute all of life is well, and the next minute all of life is crumbling down around your ears? You ever been there? Have you ever been there where one moment it just felt like you were so close to the Lord, and the next minute you felt like you were so far from the Lord? You see, it can happen just that quick, but most people don't think it'll ever happen to them. Have you seen, we've all seen those marriages that we thought, boy, they're the perfect couple. And then you hear where that perfect couple split up. And you would have never believed it. We've all seen those faithful church members who we thought, man, they're going to be in church till the Lord comes back. And you turn around and they're gone. What happens? We don't realize that we have to be on a daily watch. Because if we're not on guard, it can happen to anyone present here today. From this pastor down to every member and everyone sitting in the pew. It can happen to us. That's why he gave this warning. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Be warned, number one. Number two, be realistic about your temptation. It can happen to you. And when it does happen to you, know this, that there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common. I want you to chew on that just a minute. There is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common. I'll give you three words, three definitions. Number one, temptation. Okay? It's an enticement to sin. It's a lure. It's something that draws you in. That word number two, overtaken, means to bring under one's control. So the idea is that you're tempted with the sin. You're lured in there and you're overtaken and placed under the control of that sin. That's the classic pattern of how sin works. But one more definition. That word common in the text. You've not been, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common. That word common means just what it says. Common. After the manner of man. Okay? Here's the bottom line. Now I want you to grab this and you write it down big, pretty, and large. All right? Put it in your life. You are not special. You are not unique. You see, everybody has the idea that my situation is more challenging than anyone else that is on the earth today. My situation, nobody knows how I feel. I've often heard people say, well, Brother Doug, you just don't understand. And you know what? I may not understand the particular sin or the temptation to sin that you're dealing with, but I do understand what it means to fight against sin. Because everybody has a sin problem. And Satan uses the same tactics over and over and over to draw us in. And there is never back up and say, well, I'm unique. No, you're not. You're fighting the same battle everybody else is fighting. You know, everybody who gets in financial trouble, they think, well, I'm the only one going through this. No, you just need to join the financial trouble club, which is probably half the folks in this congregation today. Yeah? Everyone, we all want to think our battle is the worst and most unique that's ever been faced, and it's not. Sometimes I think we ruin our kids with that. I've often heard people say, well, our kids have it so rough today. Yes, they have it so rough with their iPhones and their iPads and their new cars and their new clothes and their new shoes and everything that we give them. Bless their heart. I mean, it's hilarious, is it not? And see, our kids get to thinking, well, I'm more tempted than it's ever been. No, you're not. You know what? There has been sex outside of marriage for years. There has been drugs for years. There's been false religions for years. There's been all this same temptation has existed for ages, you know, ever since the beginning. You're not special. It does not matter if you're 16 years old or 96 years old. We're all fighting the same battle. The question is this, will we overcome that battle? Okay? Are we going to be an overcomer? I want to give you three laws this morning. And overcoming temptation. This will always work. Surefired, never fail system. Guaranteed. Okay? Number one. God is faithful. God is faithful. That word faithful, of course, it means trustworthy. It means you can count on God. It does not matter if you feel like you're alone. It does not matter how big that mountain seems. I want you to know that God is there, and you can always count on God if you're His child. Okay? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can trust God no matter what you're going through. The second law is that God will not allow temptation beyond your ability. Now, I do want you to chew on this one for a little while. Because, see, here's the part that we use an excuse. I just can't. I want you to know can't is not in God's vocabulary. When we say, I can't do this, well, you very well may not can, but the God you serve can get you through this. All right? And there is no sin, there is no temptation that you can't overcome. And the reason is this, God is God. And God has set limits upon your life. Okay? He has set boundaries. And He will not allow Satan to take you beyond those limits. Isn't that a great assurance? Huh? You go back to Job. As Satan wanted to test or to trouble God's servant Job. Do you remember God said, okay, you can trouble him, but don't lay one hand on his body? Okay, you remember? He set the boundaries. Let me tell you, Job's no different than you are. God has set the boundaries of your life, and He will not allow you to go through a temptation or enticing sin that you cannot shun or overcome. And here's the third law. God will provide. Okay? Number one, God's faithful. You can trust Him. Number two, God will not allow temptation beyond your ability. Number three, God will provide. He will make a way of escape. All right? I want you to know there is a way of escape that is available in all temptation situations. God has not allowed, and listen, God will not allow Satan to take your free will away. You have a choice. Okay? If you want to write this on the side of the notes, write this down big, bold, and proud. I have a choice. You can give in or you can get out. Okay? You can give in to the temptation or you can give out, but there is all, or you can get out, but there is always a choice. And the winning or the losing of that temptation and that situation in your life will be decided by the choice that you make. Okay? And you are responsible for the choice that you make. So what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to encourage you today to fight the battle. Okay? Fight the battle. So many people don't want to fight. Just give in. No, fight the battle. That's why I think it was verse 14 where Paul said, therefore, flee from adultery. Because of the things I just told you in 12 and 11, or 11 and 12, because of those things, now I'm going to ask you or tell you to flee from adultery. And you know, it's interesting the way he wrote that in the Greek. It literally says, flee from the idolatry. Okay? Or the worship of false gods. And it carries the meaning of one temptation that's always present. Isn't that the way Satan works? You know, he knows your weakness, right? He knows my weakness. And if there's something we're having trouble with, guess what he does? He puts that in there just continually, in that spot, to repeatedly tempt and to ensnare. You know, he uses that weakness to entice us. For example, if you're an alcoholic, everywhere you go, you'll see beer and wine and liquor signs. And, you know, every restaurant you eat in, you'll smell it. Everywhere you look, there'll be that enticement that Satan places in your way. If you're a pornographic addiction, everywhere you look, you're going to see, I mean, even on basic TV, the immorality is terrible. Absolutely terrible. But whatever it is that you fight, Satan knows where your weakness is, and he puts that there repeatedly. Every time you turn around, there's that temptation, there's that draw. But what does God say? God says, flee. When you see it, run. There's nothing wrong with getting away from it. Okay? And see, for Corinth, it was these idol feasts where they ate meat that had been offered to idols in a setting that was honoring to those idols. Okay? Now, what was going on is some of the Christians at Corinth were participating in these idol feasts. And the draw about it was free food. It was free food. You could take your whole family and you could get filled up and it didn't cost you anything. The only problem is when you took your whole family and you got filled up there, you were honoring, you were considered as a result of that society, you were considered to be honoring that idol god that the meat had been sacrificed to. Oh, now I'm sure there was the argument, I've got to feed my family. I'm saving money by doing this. I have no choice. If I don't do this, I'm not, we're going to have to do without. That's the way we would argue the point, wouldn't it? Paul's saying, no, no, no. Paul's saying, get out, flee, don't go near it. Satan says, go to it and eat your fill. Satan says, get out. Or God says, get out. Flee from idolatry. Flee from the temptation. You see, here's what we need to understand as Christians. That there is a cost in being Christian. Okay? Now here's another thing I want you to hold on to just a little bit. I want you to think about it. There is a cost with Christianity. Many of us want to do the right thing just as long as there's no cost or no inconvenience. That's it. How many times have you seen people that took a little pressure and just folded like a cheap suit? Why? It's because we don't want to pay the cost. We don't understand that there's a cost to Christianity. I want to tell you, it's not supposed to be easy. I figured out if everything is easy, you know what you wind up with? A spoiled brat. Amen? If everything's easy, they get what they want all the time and there's never any tribulation to build character, they would wind up just a spoiled brat. And then when they don't get what they want, they would say, well, I don't understand. I think that's what we've got in our ranks of Christianity today. We don't want to be inconvenienced. And we want to do the right thing as long as we don't have to pay for doing the right thing. We want our cake and eat it too. Give you an example. Why have people... Our country is moving in a direction where the institution of marriage is absolutely being shunned and dismissed. Why? Why? Well, that's pretty easy. Sex without commitment. Make sense? That's easy. Hey, I can use you, but I don't have to commit anything to you. There's no cost. No cost. Financial benefit. Couples move in together because it's financially beneficial. Let me tell you something. God designed a way for a man and woman to live together and spend the rest of their life together and to know the joy of what a real godly relationship is. And He called it marriage. And you grab a hold of this. You may not want to pay the cost of being faithful to the Lord. But you understand this, giving in to the temptation, being overcome by the sin, is going to cost you way more in the long run than it will take if you take a stand right now. Okay? Take a stand. Why do we give in to peer pressure? Why are kids overwhelmed with drinking, drugs, and sex? Because they don't want to be left out of the crowd. It's okay. There are some crowds we need to be left out of. Stand up. You know, pay the price. It costs to have a conviction. If we are not a church of conviction, we are no more than a social club. Okay? Take a stand. And that's Paul's point here, is take a stand. You see, we like the easy button. Staples has a button. I like their commercial. Don't you? It's a neat commercial. I need something. Well, here, push the easy button. Bang! And boom, I've got it. You know? That's the guy who came up with that, he had it figured out. He had it figured out. But listen, that's not what Christianity is. All right? When you're tempted with sex outside of marriage, don't push the easy button and give in. It won't work. When you're tempted with drugs, don't push the easy button and give in. Married man, when you're tempted with an adulterous relationship, don't push the easy button and give in. When you're tempted to lay out of church, don't push the easy button and roll over and go to sleep. You know what the easy button is in that case, don't you? The snooze button? Listen. Don't give in. Get out. Face that temptation head on and say no. Because Christianity is not always easy. Can you just imagine Noah? Noah had a good life, didn't he? Easy life. Never had to break a sweat a day in his life. And God, can you imagine the Lord as he come to Noah and says, Noah, I want you to build a really, really big boat. Big boat, Noah. And then I want you to fill it with animals and I want you to gather the feed to feed the animals. And, you know, if we had been Noah, you know what we'd have said? When God said, I want you to build a really big boat, feed those animals. And do what? Lord, do you know how much that'll cost? Lord, do you know how inconvenient that'll be? Lord, do you know the price I'm going to have to pay to build you this big boat? I'll pass. You know? Moses. When God said, Moses, I'm going to deliver my children, the children of Israel, out of Egyptian bondage, and I've chosen you to be the man to deliver them. Can you imagine if Moses said, well, now, Lord, do you understand that I left Egypt because they were going to kill me there, right? For the Apostle Paul, when he was stoned and left for dead, get up and keep preaching. For the cross, we know as Calvary, Jesus willing to pay the price so that your sins could be paid for. Folks, it's not supposed to be easy. But I promise you this, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays not to give in to the temptation of this world. We've just got to be willing to fight. Brings us to our last point this morning. See, that Paul built that whole case and then he said, now let me tell you this. I'm going to speak to you like you're wise people. And Paul said, the cup. Paul said, here's how it works. The cup that you drink of. The bread. We call it communion. And the cup, it represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on your behalf. The bread represents the body that was hung on that tree on your behalf. And when we come together, Paul says, and have the Lord's Supper, we identify with Christ by our association there. Okay? You with me? You could eat all the unleavened bread you want to eat, and it mean absolutely nothing. You can drink all the grape juice you want to drink during the week, morning, noon, night, and it means absolutely nothing. But when you come together, in that capacity of honoring Jesus Christ and observing the Lord's Supper, it has a meaning, a profound meaning. And then Paul says, now those idols. Now you could eat meat from the market that you bought, and it wouldn't matter what it was offered to. You could take that meat home and cook it up and eat it, and boy, it's just all fine. It's just meat. But when you meet with them in that feast setting, and you're eating that meat in honor of that idol, then you become associated with that idol. Now, probably there's not very many idol worshipers here today. But the lesson that we get from what Paul is saying is that you can't have it both ways. Christianity is a commitment. It is a life commitment. Okay? You can't eat of the Lord's table, as Paul put it, and the table of demons. Why? 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 Because people will see you. And when they see you do something, they're going to think you're supporting whatever it is you're doing. Okay? That's Paul's point in the rest of this chapter. That's why we have to be careful where we find ourselves and what we find ourselves doing. You see, there are so many Christians today, and this is classic Christianity, that honor God or want to honor God by coming to church, but then they have the mentality that what I do outside the church is my own business. Wrong. You see, it's called a testimony. And you have one. Everybody here has a testimony. And your testimony is not what you do here. Your testimony is what you do out there for the world to see. When you lose your cool and blow up, and often I've heard people say, well, I'm just that way. Well, you need to get over that. Okay? You need to get through that temptation. I've heard people say, well, I just say what I think. I'm going to tell you what, it's not good to always say what you think. A lot of times that's a sin. My point is this. You can ruin a testimony that it took 20 years to build in about 2 minutes. You can. That's why Paul opened in this text with a state, with a warning. When he said, be warned, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That means every one of us need to stand on guard. Because I'm going to tell you something, we have an enemy and he is after us big time. There's nothing Satan would like more than to tear Victory Missionary Baptist Church down. And you know how he does it? He starts with individuals. He starts with people, with you and with me. And he starts tarnishing reputations. He starts tarnishing our testimonies. Oh, listen, my friends. Paul gave us a surefire way not to get caught and overcome by the temptation of sin. See, the question that we've got to answer, am I willing to fight the battle? Am I willing to take a stand? I have figured out. You know, you learn a few things over the years. And I have figured out the easy road is not always the right road. And I've also figured out there's no sacrifice I can make that's not worth or worthy of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you and ask you this. Where are you today? Where are you? Okay? Let's do business with God. Where are you? Maybe sin has over, you know, and temptation has just washed over you like a wave, like a tidal wave. And it's just destroying you. Time to get out. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I understand that God is God. And He'll give you the strength needed. We have the promise of His Word. Are you willing to get out? You may be here today and you've never established a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you realize that Jesus Christ came to this earth to give you life and to give you abundant life, a life worth living? Are you saved? If you're not saved, I want to tell you something. And I've preached this big, long message on sin, and I realize, you know, we all fight it every day, okay? But the good news is that when we sin, we have an advocate seated at the right hand of the Father. His name is Jesus. And when I do fail, that advocate goes before the Father on my behalf. And He said, for Doug's sin, I died. I paid for it. Let me ask you something. Who paid for your sin? Who died for you? When I leave this life and I stand before God, I have only one plea. And it's not going to be about, well, now, Heavenly Father, I was the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. That's not going to impress Him. Well, now, Lord, I gave to the poor. That's not going to impress Him. You know what's going to be the only reason I get into heaven? Because my plea is Jesus Christ, the One who died for me. Okay? And that's the only hope anybody has. Are you a child of the King? Are you saved? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I'll ask you to come forward and let me share with you in the Word of God how to be saved. Maybe you're here and you're battling just a difficult battle right now. The altar's open for you. And let me encourage you. God is faithful. God's faithful. You're going to make it. But continue to fight. Don't quit. Don't give up. And don't give in. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. We thank You, Lord, for the instruction of Your Word. How helpful it is. Help us, Lord, to take it to heart. Let it change us from the inside out. Help us to fight a fight, Lord, when Satan comes to ensnare us with the temptations. And Lord, I pray for those in the service who are lost. Lord, they need You. Convict them now. Give them the courage to step out from where they sit and to come forward and receive You as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.